So, to recap our story so far, we've seen how life first began in the oceans in the form of microbes thriving on a planet very different from how it is now. Then 3 billion years later, an explosion of complex life, and we start to see the beginnings of animal groups that we see across the globe today. Jumping to the Mesozoic, we see some of the largest creatures ever to live in the oceans, and then see almost all of them wiped out along with the dinosaurs. And now it's time to bring humans into the story and look at the history of our relationship with the marine realm.
Well, we can certainly tell that Neanderthals, perhaps as much as around 100,000 years ago, were exploiting some sea foods.
Paul Pettit from the University of Sheffield.
In Gibraltar, for example, we have two caves, Gorham's Cave and Vanguard Cave, where Neanderthals are not only carrying shellfish into these caves, but they're breaking them open in predictable ways by the edge of a fire and so on. So this is deliberate human consumption of these.
And it's not just a case of finding debris such as shells in caves that gives us evidence that early human species were getting a taste for marine foods.
Stable isotope studies have really matured over the last 15 years or so. And the beautiful thing about human beings, of course, is that we are, to a large extent, what we eat, and therefore our bones do carry an isotopic signature of where we're deriving at least our dietary protein from. And we now have a number of stable isotope analyses on human bones back way into the last 100,000 years of the Pleistocene, particularly for Neanderthals and for early members of our own species. And what this tells us is that marine foodstuff was pretty much insignificant for the Neanderthals. If they were eating it, it was probably when they happened to have a stroll on the beach and there was some shellfish around, or a dolphin had just beached itself and presented itself as an opportune resource. But what they do tell us, by contrast, is that from at least 50,000 years ago, Homo sapiens were now incorporating quite large amounts of aquatic, that is riverine, and marine resources in the diet as well. So our stable isotope analyses of bone, the carbon and nitrogen in them, are, you know, greatly complementary to what we can see on archaeological sites. They do tell us that that fish is being procured in good numbers from 50,000 years ago. We may not see the means that those fish are being procured by, but they're already making a decent, you know, stamp on the diet.
But even 50,000 years ago, when fish and shellfish started to form a significant contribution to the diet, it still wasn't fishing as we would understand it today.
When we talk about a real marine economy, getting out in ships with nets that you drag behind the boats and so on and so forth, is really a much later thing, and we can count that, you know, in a handful of thousands of years rather than tens of thousands of years. From a European perspective, we'd call it the Neolithic or Bronze Age. And you know, this develops as a series of island hoppings, if you like. This isn't open ocean fishing of the like that we're used to. It's probably exploiting marine resources while still in fairly easy contact with the coast, probably in many cases still in sight of a coast of one form or another.
However these foods were collected, it's clear that they were hugely important.
Certainly, coastal resources seem to have been a critical part of the evolution of our own species. And we have a number of sites, say, on the coast of South Africa and on the Horn of Africa too, that that reveal our own species using shellfish, you know, 100,000, 130,000 years ago. The important thing, especially when we view this in its wider dietary context, this is the time when Homo sapiens begins broadening the spectrum of their diet in many ways, not just using the coastal and marine realm and the riverine realm, but also exploiting small animals, things that move fast, don't repay you if you have to actually chase them down and spear them, but do repay you very well if you're able to set traps, you know, kind of sessile ways of obtaining them. So when we see this broad spectrum economy coming about, it's very clear that our own species, at least, had reached some kind of dietary threshold in which they were far more resilient to ecological pressures, problems with the waxing and waning of resources in the landscape and so on. So the more elements in your diet, terrestrial or marine, makes you a far better survivor, particularly in those unstable climatic and environmental oscillations of the late Ice Age.
So our ancestors' ability to exploit a wide range of foods, including marine resources, undoubtedly contributed to their success and spread around the globe. That was Paul Pettit from the University of Sheffield.